The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Good morning. Do you guys remember that? Remember Delilah? It was so funny. I saw something on Instagram that was like, I thought Delilah was just for like my little small town in upstate New York. But evidently, Delilah was like all over the whole country. And don't you just remember like falling asleep in the car with your mom driving, Delilah playing some like old hits, which speaking of which, oh my God. Well, I have such a big mouth. I've been getting myself in trouble lately. Like, I wasn't supposed to evidently tell the whole world about my mom's facelift last week. Sorry. Now she's really mad at me. But I mean, come on. If I got a facelift and I paid what she paid, I would be telling everybody. I would be wearing a t-shirt that said, "Do you like my new face?" Because I paid a lot of money for it and I want attention. Anyway, speaking of 90s hits, I went on a date with this guy who, now people are going to look up who he is, but he was married to for 9 years and he's so cute. I'm supposed to get coffee with him later. He's probably going to kill me now too. This is why I can't have a podcast and a private life at the same time, because I can't keep my own secrets. And anyway, he was really cute, except he did say something that was actually pretty funny. We were sitting together, we were getting a drink, and I was like leaning forward, and I guess you could see a little bit of my underwear, which you can't, like, you could see it like just over the top of my jeans. And no, I was not like pulling up my G-string like, you know, people do. And he was like, "Oh, hanky pankies." I was like, "Excuse me?" Like, first of all, what man knows the type of underwear of a hanky panky just by seeing like the little lace trim? And also, I was like kind of embarrassed because that's not like the sexiest underwear, but I only really wear hanky pankies. Shop hanky pankies now. No, just kidding. But I would love for hanky pankies to sponsor me and give me some free underwear, because those are kind of expensive for like $15 a pair. But anyway, I just love them because they don't like ride all the way up your ass crack. It's just like sits gently on the outside. Anyway, we have a guest coming in today. Not coming in really, actually. She's going to talk to her over Zoom. And I've been preparing for her interview. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that she's done in the past. And I'm really excited for this one because she is a vagipreneur. You heard me right. And she's a sexological body worker. And so my head is like not in the right space right now to be talking about my own life, because her shit is just so much more interesting. And now I'm starting to realize, like, am I sexually oppressed? Like, listening to this woman and her sexual liberation, she was like a housewife, and then she started getting like these massages from this man who is like a, you know, I'm gonna let her explain it, but it made me realize that maybe there's a lot more to sex than just you and a partner. And I'm not talking masturbation, and I'm not talking orgasm. I'm talking like being in touch with our sexual essence. And I actually had this conversation with somebody because I went on another date with a different guy. I don't even mind blowing up his spot, because that's like his shtick. He actually has a dating app for right wing people. And I'm not a Republican. And I told him that. I was like, I don't actually have a political party that I affiliate with. And his whole thing is that he's very like, okay, conservatives, I feel, are a little bit more sexually limited in their thinking. And you guys might kill me for this, whatever. But like, you know, sex is between a man and a woman, and this, it's, and if it's any other way, like if you put a penis in your mouth, that's sodomy. It's like, okay, well then everybody lying out there, because nobody's not giving head. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but anyway, we had a conversation about how I just feel like the places where there's a lot of rules about sex, those are the places where they have the most seedy, underground, weird sex trafficking, like exploitation of it's like, I feel like when sexuality is really allowed to be free, you don't get as much violence and oppression and like underground stuff coming out. That's just my tangent. It might not be right, but I'm never wrong, so it probably is right. Okay, she's saying about it. Okay, my manager said that sodomy is only in the butt, which my point does not change because everybody wants it. Everybody, listen, we did a whole episode on butt stuff. Butt stuff is not exclusively for gay men. Many women, actually, when we interviewed Vanessa and Xander, who are sex experts, they take data all the time about, you know, what people are most interested in. And it was like 95% women who were asking them about sexual, that they would like to explore more butt stuff, but no pun intended, but don't know how to have that conversation. This is not a dumb question because I actually saw something in the news and they used the word sodomy. And I was like, what is that word? Like, it seems so scary to me. So I looked it up and I do remember it. It said in the mouth or in the butt, basically in any hole. First of all, okay, they don't want us to get pregnant and have babies. And then, you know, and of course, no abortion and no birth control, like not even a condom. We're going to put it in the butt or in the mouth. Okay. Because any other way you're going to get pregnant. And that, I don't know. You know what? How do we even get talking about this? On that note, I think we should probably talk to an expert because I clearly have no idea what I'm talking about. As I roll into my 35th year of life, I am trying to take my morning routine a little bit more seriously by making smoothies. And if you know me, you know that I love aesthetics and I just don't want a big old ugly blender on my kitchen counter. So enter Beast. If you guys have ever seen the Beast blender, it is so pretty. Beast Health was actually founded in 2021 by the former CEO of Nutribullet. So think like Nutribullet on steroids, but also like way sexier looking. I have been putting in different probiotics and different greens, some vegetables and fruit, and just feeling like I'm starting off my day on a healthier note. All Beast blenders come with drinking and storage accessories, so you can take your creation on the go or easily store it in the fridge. I have several of these because I'm known for leaving things in my car, so it really helps that I don't need to have only one of them clean at a time. The Beast Blender is amazing because it is versatile enough to replace multiple appliances. So you can use this as a food processor, veggie chopper, hand blender, and more. It doubles as decor as well. If you want to just take that lid off, put some flowers in there, it would look pretty good. If you guys would like to try this 600-watt mini blender, this thing is so strong, then visit thebeast.com and use code BARELYFILTERED at checkout for 15% off your purchase. That's thebeast.com and use code BARELYFILTERED for 15% off.
Hi, I'm Mary Alice Haney.
And I'm Dr. Thais Aliabadi.
Dr. A, as she is known, is a world-renowned OBGYN. And together, we're launching a new podcast, SheMD, to empower women to become their own health advocate.
We're providing women with the knowledge and tools to really own their own health.
With celebrity guests and today's leading experts, we're dropping episodes every Tuesday. So listen and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
Hi, Pamela. So I feel like I've gotten to know you over the last couple of days because I've been listening to all of the podcasts that you've done with some new amazing podcasts that I've recently learned about, like Sex with Emily and Girl Boner I listened to.
But those are different podcasts.
Totally. But I got something valuable from each of them. And I was,
okay.
Yeah, because, and honestly, I've started to realize, I'm like, am I a little sexually repressed? Like, do I need more of Pamela in my life? And on that note, I'm going to introduce you. So everybody needs to know this woman. I think so. Everybody needs a little Pamela Madsen. So Pamela Madsen is a somatic wellness educator and a sexological body worker and a vagipreneur. That's my favorite. She is the founder of Back to the Body and the Back to the Body Method, with over 13 years of experience helping women and couples on their journey back into their bodies. Pamela is a pioneer in fertility and sex advocacy, having founded and served as the first executive director of the American Fertility Association. She is also a veteran speaker, author, and educator, and author of Shameless, how I ditched the diet, got naked, found true pleasure, and still got home in time to cook dinner. Pamela has been featured on various media outlets such as CNN, The Oprah Winfrey Show, O Magazine, and The New York Times, advocating for women's health and integrated sexuality with raw honesty and wit. So that's a lot of sex, but also it's like there's some serious stuff. Like, I feel like you were wearing a suit at one time and then now you're like have feathers coming out in the background. Like, tell me about that shift. How did you go from being executive director of the American Fertility Association to being a sexological vagipreneur? I don't like these words are words I've never heard of in my life.
And some of them are kind of lousy words, honestly.
You don't love them.
Well, you know, like sexological body worker doesn't exactly roll off your tongue. And, you know, the substitute for that is a somatic sex educator, which means that we work through the body.
Mm.
It's a process that is not talk therapy. And yes, of course, there's talk and there's workshops and all the things and support. But the work of a sexological body worker or a somatic sex therapist, soma means through the body.
Oh.
So that's what I do. How did I make the shift? Well, that's book. but honestly, I think that there comes a place in people's lives. And my noticing is it happened around 40.
Okay.
And when this big shift happened and I'm talking mostly for women. And what happens when a woman starts hovering around the age of 40? Is that maybe, most likely, she's established her career.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants a partner, she may have established the partner or left the partner by then. She may have had the children or decided she wasn't having the children and is able to take a breath. Like, imagine that you're in this ocean and you've been swimming. Like, you know, you're just doing the crawl from the channel, one end to the other, to try to fulfill these tasks of career, maybe partnership, maybe family. And then somewhere between 40 and 50, women like go, whoa.
Right. That's so funny because lately my birthday's in 2 days. I'm turning 35, but I'm really into astrology and right around 40. That's kind of when your midlife, like it's your astrological midlife. And it coincides with a lot of what you're saying with this kind of like, you know, you kind of have gotten your practice in and now you get to live it. Now you get to either enjoy it or you got to make a decision. They say that if you don't leave a partner or make a change with a partner, change or just make any kind of change during that time, it's likely that you never will. Because that's like the time when you're getting that kind of kick in the butt of like, fix whatever's not working for you, because you're going to maybe get more set in your ways.
And that's one really good story, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a valid story. And I think another story is that a lot of women have spent a tremendous amount of time exploring the world.
Mm-hmm.
And but with the one beautiful part of the world they haven't truly explored is their own self.
Interesting.
And their own body and what is possible. And what we are fed is a lot of story about what female sexuality is supposed to be and what it is and what it isn't. And it can get very confusing. And, you know, I made the switch, which I think is was your first question to me. I was helping with women, couples, them, theys, everybody, for families, people who were really striving to build families. And, you know, what I say is that I spent a great deal of my time helping women birth babies, and now I help women birth themselves.
Oh, I love that.
And that was my transition. And my transition happened because I got curious about what else was possible for me in my body. And I knew it was not about a broken marriage bed. Because my husband and I, we could do all the things. He came, I came, we all came.
Yeah, in the 10 minutes.
Yeah, in the 10 minutes, we were professional.
Totally.
At getting each other on.
Yeah.
That I believe that there was something more in me. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with my marriage being broken. Yeah. My marriage wasn't broken, but I was the unexplored land. And I wanted to explore the land in a way that was safe, kind of sane, and consensual, and didn't involve, at that point in my life, taking on a lover.
Yeah.
And at that point in my life, I wanted a way to do this that didn't involve what we would say cheating on my man. You remember, if you go back just 10 years, we didn't have fancy words like polyamory.
Yeah.
Monogamy. You know, we didn't know about this stuff. It was just cheating.
Right.
You know, that's all it was. It wasn't like, you know, table polyamory. It's when you film that shit. I didn't know about it.
Oh. No, definitely
it,
not.
It was, I mean, there were swingers. There was
right.
Swing.
Who were looked at as like this very seedy underground population of people who can't look at them.
And I was a mother of two and, you know, happily married. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to do that. And so I went on this brave, courageous, and, you know, journey through the tutelage, honestly. You know who my teachers were?
Who?
Gay men.
Oh, we love them. We've got one in here.
Yeah, gay men. Gay men taught me everything I ever needed to know about sex.
So tell me about that, because what do they know about the vagina or the vulva?
Well, it's not so much about the puss.
Okay.
Okay. What it was about a thing called sacred intimacy. Mm-hmm. And sexological body work. And Joseph Kramer, who's one of my mentors, founded the Body Electric. And these was happened during the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. When Joseph was trying to show gay men ways to connect without fluid bonding.
Oh, okay.
And I had experience touch and arousal through one-way touch. And that's how this work started in this. And so I had a gay massage therapist. And he started to like tell me about this like incredible experience. This erotic massage. And I was like, I was knocked him unconscious. Like I jumped up and hit him on the head with my head.
Like a happy ending?
Yeah, like happy ending. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Back up. What are you talking about? And, you know, I became like, the scene in Sex and the City with Samantha when she went looking for a happy ending massage.
For a woman.
And what I found out was that if you are a man, at least 10 years ago, you could get anything. And it didn't matter if you were gay, straight, bisexual. You had a cock, you were in the door.
Right.
Okay. And everything was available. You wanted Genghis Khan's twin daughters, they would be delivered to your room at a price. Right. But if you were a woman seeking to have these experiences, it was drier than a desert out there.
Right.
And I ended up, like, where did I find this? Well, I couldn't find erotic massage for women. Now you can on Google, but when I was doing this, I couldn't find out. And so what I did is I went to places like Rent Men. I don't even know if it exists anymore. It's sort of like a Tinder for gay men.
Oh, okay.
They're practitioners, sacred intimate escorts, sex workers, put up profiles, and I read them.
Okay.
I started to notice words like sacred intimacy, Joseph Kramer, sexological body work. And then I started to write these guys. You know, I was like, hey. And I had a pseudonym. Hey, I'm Kay. And I'm looking to experience erotic touch. I don't want anything you don't want to give me. Like, have you ever worked on a woman? And I got yes, no's, and maybe. And I had what I call my martini posse of women who basically would wait for me. And like, I would give them the address where I was, what time I was going in. And then I would, and some of them would just like wait around the corner.
Yeah. That's like what my friends do when I go to pick up a bench off like Facebook Marketplace. Little different, but.
More different, but similar, right? Same idea. Yeah. Right? If I'm not out in 2 hours, call the police.
Okay.
But I don't want to be someone's lunch.
Right.
So I learned about myself and eventually found a solid practitioner. The book is very funny, Shameless. It talks about all this stuff. And I started a blog called The Riverdale Goddess, The Very Unusual Adventures of a Not Very Ordinary Housewife, which during that time, you could have an anonymous blog. During that time, I mean, we're not talking about when Jesus was a baby, okay? We're talking about 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, everything has moved very, very quickly with social media. But at that time, blogs were a big deal. Sex blogs were a big deal. And I had over 40,000 readers. And I was writing about my experiences with these practitioners and my evolution. And so that's what happened to me.
Were these experiences ever unsafe for you? Did you ever get somewhere and realize that maybe somebody was like, I don't know, a pervert?
No.
No.
No, I had experiences that I didn't like.
Yeah.
So I run erotic retreats for women, have been doing that for 13 years through Back to the Body.
Right.
And so I've had everything that I've experienced, good, bad, and ugly, like I've taken that out of my container.
Totally.
And so I had many different kinds of experiences. I left the American Fertility Association or was chased away, as the case may be, as I was outed and shamed and dealt with all of that. And
as all witches are, right?
As all, yeah, they weren't really happy until I was burned at the stake.
Yes.
So I went on and got training. And I already had a master's degree in education. And I went on and got training as a somatic sex educator. And I was very, very well known. And that helped me a great deal because I had credibility.
Right.
Women trusted me. I passed family building legislation in New York and New Jersey. I work with the FDA and the CDC. And so I had credibility and, you know, the fertility advocate became the sex advocate. And I opened up a coaching practice. And then I was like, okay, let's actually build this for women. Yeah. A safe place for women to come and explore their erotic body in a really safe container. And that's what I've done for 13 years now.
And I want to go on that retreat. You have another one coming up in September, right?
I do.
So it's going to be in Colorado, September 8th through the 15th. This is the Sovereignty Retreat for Back to the Body. And it sounds pretty amazing because it's a safe place for women to discover their own body. And by the way, I just learned that the clit has legs. Evidently, it's not just like that little bulb that we all have that's like covered by the hood. It also has like legs. It's so crazy that women don't even know what to call their vagina. So remember that time I thought I was in love with a con artist because I was really trusting my gut? Well, probiotics can't fix your gut in that way, but they can help you have better digestion and a better brain-gut connection. So I've talked to you guys before about the brain-gut axis, and that is just something that is so important because what we don't realize is that so many of our neurotransmitters, which keep us happy and healthy, are actually made in the gut, which is why it's so important to be taking a probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic. And lucky for you, Ritual has a 3-in-1, and this is my favorite part. It doesn't have that like gross flavor that you burp up after you take it. The one that I love at my house tastes like peppermint, and I keep them with me every day. It's one of those things that you hear like, oh, take a probiotic, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But until you actually start taking one and see the difference that it makes in your hormone health, in for me, my skin health, it is really, it's a mandatory for me. So there is no shame in your gut game. Just don't start dating a con artist. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/barelyfiltered. Start Ritual and add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/barelyfiltered for 25% off.
What's also true is that we've been spouting, all of us sex educators, so proudly, right? Mm-hmm. That the clitoris is 8,000 nerve endings. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, that's a cow. That's a bovine.
Wait, what?
The 8,000 nerve endings that we've been bragging about.
Yeah.
studied a freaking cow.
Oh, okay.
And so Dr. Maria Uloco, who's amazing female urologist, sexologist, doctor, said, whoa. And she, just last year, she studied the female clitoris. We have 10,000 nerve endings, by the way.
Isn't that crazy that they don't even take a human vagina or vulva in order to study? They take the cow?
They took a cow. Yeah, you know, who actually is having a pretty good day.
Yeah, I was like, wait, that cow is like, wow, I usually just milk it. Now I get to have some work.
Yeah, probably but we have actually 10,000. And they've lost the female G-spot like a million times.
Yeah.
Over the last 400
I've heard it
years.
Doesn't even exist. I've heard that the G-spot is actually just a continuation of the clit internally. Is that true?
You know what? I don't know what's true.
Yeah,
what I know, what I do know is that if I put my fingers like this in a woman's vaginal canal and press up, she's going to have a feeling in her body.
Mm.
And the feeling in her body actually may feel like she has to pee.
Okay.
And it may not be pleasurable. And it takes a while to cultivate pleasure around your G-spot, and ejaculation is not orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different feeling, and we are understudied. We're only beginning to look at menopause because women just didn't live this long.
Right.
I mean, there's this whole art of what it is to be female that is just not paid attention to. And partly is because we didn't live long enough, and partly because we were commodified. We're still commodified. We're still controlled. I mean, we're living in a country, if you're in the United States right now, where we're rolling back time again,
yeah.
Where we, you know, I grew up, we had full reproductive choice, and now we don't again. And so if women feel commodified, if women feel controlled, if women feel like they can't trust their own bodies, their own vulva. Of course they feel like they can, because we're being told that we need to be controlled, that our vote doesn't count, that, you know, it belongs to a whole bunch of white men up there who need to tell us what to do with our bodies. And so it becomes very difficult for women in fighting for sovereignty, in fighting for sexual autonomy,
mm-hmm.
in fighting for sexual voice, in knowing their desires, being able to ask for their desires, understanding themselves, when we're constantly getting messages that we're children.
Right.
And
it's,
you know,
something to be ashamed of. Actually, we have a lot in common. I have a master's in teaching. I was a kindergarten teacher just like you. And then I also got married, had two kids, and I had an alternative marriage arrangement with my husband, not like yours, where I kind of didn't believe that men could be monogamous. Like, I thought that they were wired to spread their seed far and wide. And so I was going to be like the cool girl who didn't think sex was, I thought our bond was so special that like he could go and have sex with other people as long as it was safe and use protection and blah, blah, blah. But then when it actually ended up happening, I didn't like that feeling of feeling like I wasn't the only one. And it wasn't really something
that you weren't the star of your show.
That I wasn't I need to be the star of the show. That's why I have my own show now. And, you know, we have a good relationship now, but it's almost like my situation is the inverse of yours, where like you were able to keep that close bond with your husband while getting your sexual needs met elsewhere, but it wasn't cheating. Explain that.
Well, is it cheating if you work out with a personal trainer? Ooh. Is it cheating if you speak to a therapist?
No.
So my practitioners signed agreements. My women signed agreement with me that A, practitioners keep their clothes on, that it's one-way touch,
okay.
That we are a female-held company,
okay.
Which means that I have what we call safe ports. So when women come to retreat, they're assigned to a practitioner who they've gotten to have an intake call with, and they've had a group call with all of us, and they know me. And then they were assigned a female safe port. That female safe port takes them to session and picks them up out of session. That the women all go into what we call the nurse, where they do kennels and they talk about what they want to share, or they're just held. There's no secrecy.
Okay.
There is no contact with practitioner outside of session. My practitioner has signed an agreement that they will not date or have social contact with our participants for over 2 years. I think never. Never is better.
And they're not using their own, they're using their hands, not their...
They're using hands, they're using toys.
Okay.
They are teaching women how to use their bodies, how to open their mouth, how to have sound. We also have workshops that are going on during the day. So, yeah, so getting anywhere from 90 minutes to 3 hours a day of touch, depending upon the workshop, that, you know, which retreat they're attending. And then there are workshops that are happening, and there are women's circles that are going on. And, you know, women have reported back and back to us that like 1 week of back to the body equals 20 years of therapy.
Wow.
Because things move so fast. And what I'm really proud of, Aurora, is the publication of an IRB, an internal review board study that was done and published in 2023 about my work at Back to the Body. And it's a 45-page quantitative qualitative study. The reason why they could study us is because the recipe is repeatable.
Okay.
So I know what's going to happen here is going to happen here is going to happen here. What we know is that women who do immersive experiences, so it's not a one-off, it's not one day, right? It's a 7-day program. So what we know is that they come out of the program having what we call genital self-esteem. How's that sentence?
I want
they
one of
those. They feel good about their pussy. So if they came in feeling that their vulva looked funny or whatever they had, their story.
I have so many friends who say that.
Right. So they leave with vulva pride.
Yeah.
They leave with, I remember one woman saying, no one ever asked me what I wanted before. And so they learn what they like and they learn how to speak it. They learn how to initiate. They learn how to use voice and joys. They understand consent. And what I really love is one of the findings was sisterhood. They healed their relationships with other women. And I'll tell you the secret. You want to know the secret to healing sisterhood?
Yeah. What is it?
You take mate competition out.
Mate competition.
Competition.
Oh.
So when you remove
damn men, or I guess women, whoever.
When you take competition, especially around partners, out of the scenario with women, they start supporting each other.
How funny.
So everyone gets the same slice of cake. No one's fighting over the cupcake. Everyone gets a cupcake. So if everybody gets a cupcake, we can celebrate all the cupcake.
Yeah, why not?
And you start to have women cheering for each other. You start to have women supporting each other. And so one of the big findings of our study was not just about body image, absolutely, all the way up, leaving trauma behind, sexual shame.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love is they heal their relationships with other women.
I mean, yeah, how could, what greater gift? I mean, the competition between women, it's so isolating to not feel supported and to not feel understood. I relate to that with the, it sounds like, you know, we have this connotation of sex as kind of being dark and dirty. But what I'm hearing, the body healing reminds me a lot of my yoga practice, which after I was a teacher, I became a yoga practitioner. And some of these positions that you get into just using breath and stretching and your own body, it can be so deeply healing in a way that I don't really know how to articulate with words even. Like you said, like, I don't know exactly where the G-spot is, but I know what it feels like for me. Or you've seen what it feels like for other women in when you actually experience something in your body. It's a healing that kind of transcends time. You can be healed in one session, at least I know from yoga, trauma that you didn't even know was so deeply ingrained in your body. So that sounds amazing.
What I tell women, so they get to see live demos at our retreat. And so they can see what is possible during a session. And one of the things that, you know, we demonstrate for them And it's not acting. They actually get to see real session, the unscripted session, is that sometimes I'll cry or sometimes I'll have anger move through my body. And sometimes it's just bliss. And not to attach story, because some of this, some of that's released through sound, breath, movement, and pleasure is so deeply embedded in ourselves. It doesn't have a story anymore. This deeply embedded trauma. And so when the session is over, this is, you see them come out of session and it's almost as if they've had a facial or they've been to the spa. I don't care how old they are. I don't care if they're 30, 40, 50, 60, or 70 or 80. And I get all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Last retreat, we had five generations of women. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Okay, so I lied. 70s.
Wow.
Okay. So we had six generations of women at one program. And they all looked younger.
That's such good news that we could keep this going into our... to our, you know, late 70. I mean, now I heard a story
my
about...
My mother was 93. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My mother came to a retreat at 93 years old.
She came to your retreat?
Yes, she
did. And you demoed? Oh, wow.
If you go to the Back to the Body YouTube channel, you can see an interview with me and my mom talking.
Oh, wow.
And she hadn't had touch in 40 years.
Yeah.
Not only did she have extraordinary pleasure... and orgasm, but she was ejaculating across the room.
Oh my God.
And so this myth that we're fed that women like dry up at 50.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't.
It's not.
Men are more likely to dry up at 50 than women. That's why thing is older women, younger men.
And honestly, sex only gets better as you get older. That's one of the things I've learned. Like, it's so funny. I'm talking to somebody now. I'm single, but I'm talking to somebody who was actually my first kiss. And I remember like sex that we had in high school. He's like, yeah, I didn't know how to make you come then. It's like, I didn't know how to make myself come then. Like, you don't learn about your body until, I think this is part of why in our 40s, we feel a little more sexually liberated because we're like, wow, there's more to all this. Like, this is more layers to discover. And I want to talk a little bit about what you said in one of your talks you did, I think maybe with Sex with Emily, but you were talking about how when you were still married to are you still married to the same man that you were married to back when you had your kids?
40 years.
40 years. Oh my God. Okay. So this guy that you are married to still, you said that in your 40s, your friends were having affairs, sexual affairs, and that they had this vibrancy that you were craving. Tell me about the vibrancy, because you were having good sex with your husband, right? Or no?
Yeah, yeah. As I said to you in the beginning, you know, we knew how to do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so first of all, there's, you know, what was happening to my friends then, I understand more now, which is they were experiencing your relationship energy.
Okay. Dopamine.
And, you know, the excitement of something that's new. But for me, I didn't understand that. I didn't at that point understand that that's actually what was happening for them. You know, so they were all sex goddesses and I wasn't. Boo-hoo.
Mm-hmm.
what I found out and what I have found out is that the erotic for me is something that is actually contained within me. And that I have so many different ways that once I became embodied and once I became friendly with my body and friendly with my sexuality and my arousal, that I could feed my arousal and my sexuality, yes, through lovership, yes, through my marriage, yes, through masturbation and self-pleasure. Yet there could be sexual turn on for me in the earrings that I'm wearing and like,
oh, I love
feeling
that.
Beautiful and like baring my shoulders, like just, ooh. Like, I'm looking at myself right now and I'm going, hey, baby, I'd have sex with you in a minute. So, you know, I find pleasure in when I have clients who are going through hard time. And I'm like, just stop for a minute. What are you doing in this moment that's so easy that could give you pleasure? So what are you doing to put your pleasure first? And you know what? It could be a new sex toy. But it also could be caviar in your refrigerator or a steamed lobster. It could be taking yourself out shopping or taking yourself on a trip or deciding to do something really outrageous, like getting really dressed up and sitting yourself for one in a 5-star Michelin star restaurant and ordering the top of the menu. And so sexual wellness, sexual expression is more than P&V.
Penis and vagina. It's
more, it's more than that. You know, we can live really full, alive, erotic lives. There are so many different portals in. I'm talking to you right now. I can feel my pussy. My pussy is awake. It's hot. It's activated. I'm in arousal because I'm totally in touch. I've got one big pleasure loop happening and I'm excited. I'm talking to you. And so, but I can feel that.
Right.
In my body. There was a study that was done by Dr. Meredith Shriver, the DCA. And it's an old study already. And what she did was she hooked up the genitals of men and women and showed them pornographic images. And men could connect very quickly. They could tap when they were aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And they were measuring blood flow and erectile tissue. When they did it for women, their body was showing arousal. Their body was showing turn up, but they weren't clicking the button.
Oh, so that's a disconnect.
Huge disconnect. And so we as women need to learn how to rewire our pussies to our heart, to our mind, to our energy.
It's all the chakras, right? Our sacral
chakra. All the chakras. I'm really well wired because I've been practicing a long time. So I can feel arousal, heat, and turn on in my vulva talking to you without wanting to have sex with you. I don't feel that kind of excitement.
Yeah, I know. Beautiful. Isn't that crazy? But, like, hey,
you
know, wait a minute.
You're beautiful, but
why do I feel rejected?
Right. I don't have a desire to have sex with you, but my body is turned on.
Right.
And aroused by the conversation. And so I get that pleasure. Oh, right.
And what's better than that? I feel like when in the countries or the places in the world where this is shut off for people, where you're supposed to not supposed to talk about those sorts of things, or that's where you have all that like kind of underground, seedy, violent kind of sex or exploitative sex, where the people aren't able to express themselves fully the way that we were meant to be, right? With all of our chakras in sync with each other and with everything flowing. It's crazy. I have a 3-year-old daughter too, and she's just like running around touching herself all day. And I'm careful not to be like, I remember being a little girl and my parents being like, don't do, I remember my sister used to like hump her car seat and we'd be like, she's doing it again. Seriously. But I mean, like little girl, and I'm like, so like put some underwear on. She's like, why? It feels good. We call it a goot in my house, long story, but she's like, I love my goot. And I'm like, okay, you go, girl. You know, I'm not going to shame that, but we don't learn about what it is, what it could do, what it means for us, how it makes how to connect to our heart and our mind until we go and get our, you know, they stick the metal clamp up your vagina when you go into the gynecologist. And that's why for me, I feel like I always had that like kind of like sterile, like I don't want anybody's fingers up there because it reminds me of like a latex glove, you know?
Right. No, it's really a horrible thing what we do to little girls. And they organically know that their vulva actually can actually help them concentrate and make them feel love. Because when we stimulate our vulva, we release all these incredible neurochemicals that are love hormones and dopamine, which helps with concentration. And so when I would teach kindergarten like you did, it'd be really normal for little girls to be sitting cross-legged and to have their heels pressed up against their vulvas, and they would be rocking while they were listening to me. And they were not self-pleasuring. They were just organically stimulating these concentration chemicals that we are blessed with as women. But instead, we say, stop wiggling, go to the bathroom.
Right.
What's going on? And I think it's really okay also to teach little girls, that's beautiful, darling, that you are enjoying your vulva. And that's something that you do in private.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something we do at the dining room table at Red Lobster.
Yeah.
That's something that we do in private, which doesn't make it dirty.
Right.
Doesn't make it bad. We do a lot of things in private that we don't do in public. And helping a little girl understand the difference between privacy and secrecy and, you know, difference between shame and having autonomy and having boundaries.
Yeah.
And teach them that it's really good to pleasure yourself and it's really good for you to have boundaries around them. And, you know, that's a private activity or something when you get older, you might want to share with a partner. You know, that's obviously age appropriate.
Right.
But I think it's okay also, there's a difference between cutting self-pleasuring off and teaching young children boundaries around where and how we engage, because you're not going to walk around naked in Walmart, are you?
No.
Even in LA. So, you know, you could say to your daughter, you know, mommy doesn't walk around naked in Walmart and mommy doesn't touch her body in Walmart either in that way. That's something that mommy does in private. And so some of the most delicious things in life we do in private, and helping our young ladies, our young women, have an understanding around how to enjoy their bodies in places that are safe for them to enjoy their bodies.
Yeah. It's getting nice out, everybody. That means that we are spending more time outside on patios, having barbecues, and everybody needs to make sure their refrigerator is stocked up with some kind of a hard seltzer. But you know what? It can't just be any hard seltzer. It has to be one that is not with a million calories. Nobody wants that for their summer bod. And also, isn't everybody over the fake sugar? I know I am. That is why I always stick with Truly Hard Seltzer. Truly believes life can be more refreshing when we can be real, let loose, embrace imperfections, and allow ourselves to be free from convention. That's why Truly has something for everyone in more than 30 unique flavors, including 3 lightly flavored mixed packs, berry, and a new party pack. Some of my friends' favorite are the citrus mix pack, and they have this brand new flavor, which is raspberry, and they also have 4 fan favorite flavors. Each flavor is super light, crazy refreshing, and made with real fruit juice. So I would strongly encourage you guys to check it out. Make sure that you try it, because it only has 5% ABV, 100 calories, and 1 gram of sugar in each can. Truly is the perfect drink to keep you on track for that summer bod and, you know, allow you to just loosen up a little bit. To find Truly Hard Seltzer near you, go to trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. That's trulyhardseltzer.com/locations. Truly Hard Seltzer, keep it light. Truly Hard Seltzer, Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly. Did you ever feel like your husband and you had were kind of lacking a closeness because you were on this like sexual liberation journey and he was not interested in that? Do you feel like a marriage needs that? Like, do you guys need to be on the same sexual page?
I think most marriages aren't on the same sexual
page. That's true. but we don't admit that.
Yeah, I think that's when you have new relationship energy and it's like, you know, the first year or 2 or 3, or for some people, 6 months.
Yeah.
Depending on who you are. That's one thing. And then you evolve over time. And you have different needs. And you may have different fantasies. And like, I like spanking. And I like BDSM. And that is not his thing.
Okay.
So does that mean that I have to put my vulva on the shelf for the rest of my life? Does that mean because my husband is not interested in ropes and paddle and those kinds of things, that I don't ever get to have them? So, like, you love to eat steak. I don't know. You could be a vegetarian for all I know. But it's the same thing like with food, right? So let's say my husband's a carnivore and loves to eat his steak rare. and I don't eat steak. So does that mean he doesn't get to eat steak?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know why we have to make such, like, just make it a bigger deal than it is.
So I eat certain dishes outside of my house, okay. You know, with, you know, within boundaries. Everybody has their own relationship boundaries. Yeah. I have mine. And in some ways, it'll bring us closer. Absolutely. In some ways, it'll make us less close. Absolutely. And I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and I think that if I didn't have the erotic freedom that I enjoy, if places like Back to the Body didn't exist for women, where they could come and explore themselves without burning down their house. You know, you don't always have to burn down your house. I mean, sometimes you have to get a divorce or you have to separate. And we all know that. And if it's about, like, you don't understand your libido and you don't understand your body and this person isn't meeting those needs and you don't even know how to have those needs, there's a place you can go that is not going to disrupt your marriage. And it'll take that back because it might.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's true is that women who go through our program change their life. Some of them get married. Some of them get divorced. Some of them start dating. Some of them change careers, move across the country. They evolve.
Right.
And that can be scary for people. That when you open up who you truly are, and stop tamping yourself down and waiting for someone to give you permission.
Right.
To live your full, embodied, alive life. When you do that, when you give yourself permission, when you find your sovereignty, then you can really change and evolve and do incredible things in your life. So sex can open the door to everything.
I love that. And I'm going to actually read a quote that I stole from your Instagram that you wrote that I loved. It says, "Don't break up with your desire, even if you feel dumped by circumstance, misled or lost. You still know what your desire is, right? You can feel it. What it is that you want in your life. It's okay to feel impatient for it. Feel the ache like a tooth exposed at its nerve. Don't shame yourself for trusting the path that you set yourself on, even if all the plans went wonky. All that happens is that you tried. All that happens is that you loved. All that happens is that you danced with your desire and your dreams. Come sit with me in the compost for a little while. It's kind of warm here. Put a rose between your teeth. There is life in the shit. Seeds full of hunger and desire ready to sprout. Can you feel it?" I loved that because I feel like I've gone through the shit, and sometimes the shit and all the circumstances that don't go your way, it's like, oh man, like such amazing things can grow from that. And I just love that you're giving people the tools to learn more about how to be more connected to themselves, because then we can be more connected to each other. And I feel like that's kind of the ultimate goal here in our meat suits, as we call them on this show.
I love that you love that quote.
Yeah, I love it. Well, it really spoke to me, you know, just as a divorced, I'm a 35-year-old mother of two, not exactly where I thought I'd be, but the perfect place, you know, so much possibility.
You know what's true? No one is where they thought they would be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had asked me that I would, you know, when I was a kindergarten teacher, that I would be a world-renowned sex educator doing live naked demos in front of women and you know, being like a mother figure to women between their 20s and their 90s, I would have told you were out of your mind.
Right.
You know, that wasn't in the plan. It wasn't even the plan. It wasn't anywhere. I couldn't have imagined that. And I think that most of us land in many different chapters that we didn't expect. And we are the winners. Because we're the ones that are doing. We're the ones who are risking. We're the ones who are truly living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I every once in a while we do a free webinar. You see the same woman in her gray sweatsuit sitting in her easy chair on the Zoom, right? And she has so many reasons why she can't. I can't because. And I won't say all the reasons why. I've heard them all. Yeah. They get so bored with their camp.
Right.
It's sort of like, actually, you can. You're choosing not to because you're scared.
Right. Yeah. Doing nothing is a choice, right?
Doing nothing is a choice. And so, yeah, you may end up sitting with me in the compost with a rose between your teeth. I've sat there so many times. And, you know, we, you know, the shit and I, we're like good friends. And I always grow another garden. And so can everyone, you know, it's like, I'm not so original. You know, when the blog was called, you know, The Very Unusual Adventures of a Not Very Ordinary Housewife, you know what, in so many ways, maybe I wasn't ordinary, but I was ordinary.
Right. You were just bold enough to admit it.
I was just bold enough to do it.
Right.
I was just bold enough to create it. I was bold enough to be scared. I was bold enough. And through that, I've had so many incredible life experiences. And that it's worth the occasional roller coaster flip-flop and the pleasure I have in my life and the experiences that I have watching women explode.
Right.
And what's true, I want more 35-year-olds. I want more women in their 20s coming to the programs. We have them. We have women in their 20s and 30s, but we have more women in their 40s and their 50s.
Okay.
And that's because the women in their 20s and their 30s are just not often brave enough. And the ones who do come, the women who are older are like, oh my God, the life you're going to
have. Oh, I love that.
And oh my God, the life you're going to have.
So
is just amazing.
Okay, so you're super bold. These women are bold. What's one piece of advice you'd give to somebody who wants to be more in touch with themselves and their sexuality and their pleasure? But they're a little scared to take even the bold step of going to something like your retreat. Is there like a smaller step to start with?
Absolutely. So there's a bunch of small steps. We have something called a portal. And we're going to be having a portal event in Colorado. I believe that it will be in June. And they can find it on the website at backtothebody.org. And that's a 3-day really inexpensive, non-residential program.
Okay.
They don't have to get naked. They'll get to see demos, they get to have workshops, they'll get to have a feeling for the work. And we fill up really fast. It's live right now. We take about 25 women into that. There's a cheap course. I have a $1,600 or something. They can buy a video with 16 lessons in it that they can do. And they can go and have a free consultation and talk to a sexologist for no money. Tell their story. Like, what would it feel like to have a consult and talk to somebody about your own erotic story who could support you?
Yeah.
And all that's available.
Oh, I like that. I think I'm going to go ahead to that. So remind us one more time, what's the website?
It's back to the body, all words, backtothebody.org.
Okay.
And there's a plethora of information, and they can take, there's even a quiz. They can take the pleasure quiz.
Oh,
and
I love a quiz.
The pleasure quiz is really fun. And they can find out where they line up as compared to other women around their attitudes towards pleasure. And then they're going to get free resources and information that lines up with where they are and advice.
Oh.
And they'll find the pleasure quiz. It will pop right up the moment they hit the website.
Okay.
And they could take the quiz. So we're all about accessibility. And yeah, some of the programs may be the right price for you, or maybe it's expensive for you. And there's something called a payment plan, right? So people can find their way in. Go find it. See what your obstacle is and let's move it. Because the obstacles are constructs to keep you stuck in space. You want a bigger, better, sexier, more alive life? Well, darling, you got to get up off your ass and create it.
Right.
And what's great for you is you don't have to go to M for M massage.
I think I kind of want to. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to go to Rep Men. You can go to a really well-established ethical program that women come back to over and over and over again to continue to grow themselves and tune into people like you who are offering lots of beautiful information and how brilliant you are. That you're bringing, I mean, you've done such really good research around me. I really actually appreciate the time you've taken. Because not every podcaster does.
Oh, well, because this is something that if I didn't find you that interesting, I wouldn't have listened to all those episodes. But like, I really was like, wait, I think I need this. I think every woman does. I mean,
every woman does.
Yeah. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for being bold enough to, you know, put your neck out there for all of us, because I don't think everybody wants to be the guinea pig. You're kind of the guinea pig. We need one of those. And we call it a witch. You can call it a witch, a guinea pig, you know, but we appreciate you, me and all the other vaginas who are listening and men, too. I feel
Viva la vulva, honey.
Yeah, viva la vulva. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and hopefully sometime we can meet in person.
I would love that. You're in LA.
Yeah.
Well, I may be opening up a retreat center in Joshua Tree. So I'm sure I'll get to meet.
Joshua, that's where my manager's just lit up because she has a house there. Wow. Joshua Tree is the perfect spot for that. Yeah. Great energy there. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I won't take any more of your time, but again, you can find her at backtothebody.org. And then do you have an Instagram people can follow you at?
Oh, yeah. So they can go to @thePamelaMadsen, and that's M-A-D-S-E-N. And I even have the antiquated Facebook. And also it's verified, like actually really verified.
Okay. So it's really
before
her.
before you like paid for it. And again, Pamela Madsen, I don't hide.
Oh, yeah.
So they can find me, and every day there's fresh writing. Great. And if you want the longer writing, you go to my Facebook page. The abbreviated writing is on Instagram.
Yeah, you're a beautiful writer. I appreciate your captions. And then your book, of course. You've written a few. What's the
just the one book. Okay. And it's called Shameless, How I Ditched the Diet, Got Naked, Found True Pleasure, and Somehow Got Time to Cook Dinner. Shameless. There it is. But okay. It's probably just
Yes. Okay, I love
and
that.
It was published by Rodale in 2011. And you can order it through Amazon.
Amazing, amazing. Well, thank you so much. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.